There was a block of marble, as I understand it, that stayed in the cathedral storehouses in Florence for some time. There were a couple of sculptors that were given opportunity to make something out of this big block of marble. Two of them tried unsuccessfully, and then it was offered to Michelangelo. He studied this block of marble for quite some time and finally had something in his mind. He built a shed around this block of marble, and for 3 years worked and worked and worked, and finally sculpted this famous sculpture of David. When he looked at that block of marble, he didn't see what it could not be. He saw what it could be. I think that's another example of the power of vision, to see what could be and not what could not be. I want to remind you of a statement that I shared with you last Sunday morning about the power of vision by Bob Logan. Vision, the capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond. That which is desirable, which could be, should be, that which is attainable. A godly vision is right for the times, right for the church, and right for the people. A godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. A godly vision motivates people to action. A godly vision requires risk-taking. A godly vision glorifies God and not people. I want to continue a vision for Creekwood. We as the Creekwood Church must always have a vision for this congregation, and it's more capturing God's vision for the church than having our own. But may our vision of the Creekwood Church motivate us and captivate us and cause us to work toward making God's vision for this church a reality. And last week we began stating some points about this vision for the Creekwood Church. We talked about how this vision must include a vision of the church as a growing family, growing in love, growing in Christ-likeness, growing as in number, because that means more and more people are being added to the family of God. Secondly, a vision for the Creekwood Church is every member a minister. Every one of us finding, discovering, if you will, our talents and then using our talents and abilities, where every part of the body of Christ does its share for the harmony of the body and so that the body and so that the work can function as it should. Thirdly, serving our community, getting outside the walls of this church building and being the salt of the earth and the light of the world to the community around us. That's the only way we can be salt and light, is if we maintain that holiness but also have that contact with the world around us, all the while having a deep love and respect for the Word of God, holding forth the Word of life, as Philippians 2 says, holding it forth as our guide for living, but holding it forth as the only way that we can know about God and His will for our lives. So having a deep and love and respect for God's Word. Let's continue this vision for Creekwood Church. It will also include ministering to one another. Ministering to one another. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You notice 1 Peter 4, 10 says, use that gift to serve others. And we're to serve one another, minister to one another within the body of Christ. That's God's vision for this church. That'll include people like the sick. And our prayer list has been very long. But you'll remember in the judgment scene of Matthew 25, Jesus says that those on His right hand are those who visit the sick, among other things. But all of them can be summarized by saying having a heart of service and of compassion towards others, especially toward those in need. And so it may be visits or meals or phone calls or other tangible acts of service. But our vision must always be to continue to minister to one another, including the sick. Also including the shut-in. The shut-in. Psalm 71:9 we could title the Prayer of the Elderly. And it says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." I believe some of our shut-ins may be praying that prayer. May our shut-ins be shut in but never shut out. And may our ministering to one another include those who want to be here but are unable. And let's remind them that they are still a part of the family of God and that we love them dearly. And let's minister to them. And as you think about ministering to one another, there are going to be other unique circumstances because we're all different. We have different family situations. We all have unique needs. And this provides an opportunity for our church to minister to one another in those unique circumstances. For example, there are those among us even today who are grieving. We've asked Ron and Don Williams, twin brothers, both of them gospel preachers, but both of them who've done a lot of work in the area of grief, to come and be with us, Lord willing, October 13th and 14th for a grief workshop, a facing of life's issues of grief workshop. And we're hoping that our families who are going through this, and we all will one day, we cannot escape it, but also to use this as an avenue of outreach, to invite others that we know of that are grieving to come and be with us, to hear Ron and Don have prepared themselves to address this need among us. But that's just one sample of many other unique circumstances that we find within God's family, that we have opportunity to minister to one another. May that always be a part of the vision for the Creekwood Church. Another part of this vision is being evangelistic, always seeking to bring others to Jesus. That is our great commission, to teach others. "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations," Jesus said, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, 19 and 20. May we always be evangelistic locally, in our own Jerusalem, if you will. I think about Andrew, who is frequently, when you read Andrew's name, he is identified by being Simon Peter's brother. He seems to be in the background so many times, whereas Simon Peter is very prominent. But Andrew, John chapter 1 says, when he heard John the baptizer speak, and John the baptizer had just pointed out that this is the Messiah, this is the one that I've been telling you about, he was so excited, Andrew was, that he went first and found his own brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. He was so excited that he'd found the Messiah. The first thing he wanted to do is find his brother so he could know that the Messiah had come. Folks, to bring someone to Jesus is still the greatest thing you and I can do for another person. May we always be evangelistic in always thinking about and praying about and preparing and planting the seed locally, thinking about friends and family members, neighbors, co-workers that we could invite, that we could build a relationship with, that we can study the Word of God with to help bring them to Jesus. That's got to be, it must be, a part of our vision for this church, both locally and abroad. And currently we're involved in great works in India, in Honduras. Beth is about to make another trip there to Panama and the Christmas boxes, planting the seed, getting the Word of God into the hands of people. And that's fulfilling this great commission, God's vision for this church, to help bring others to Jesus locally and abroad. But that must be what we're about. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says to the apostles, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Many have pointed out how that's really an outline of the book of Acts. It begins in Jerusalem, then the Christians go out into Judea and Samaria, and then, namely, the Apostle Paul goes out into the world proclaiming Jesus. But it should also be an outline of what we purpose to do within the Creekwood Church. We want to be evangelistic in our Jerusalem, in Mobile County. And we extend out into Mississippi, Baldwin County sometimes. But that we share Jesus in our Jerusalem, but also in our Judea and our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. May that vision always be ours. Thirdly, or actually number seven, continuing an active, growing youth ministry. May that always be a vision of ours. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity." Paul said that to a young preacher. Let no one despise your youth, but you be an example. But that same teaching can apply to our young people. And yet we have so many great examples in our young people, in our youth group, of speech and conduct and love and faith and impurity. Yes, our young people are the church of tomorrow, but folks, they're the church of today as well. And some of our most evangelistic members are our young people, inviting their friends and helping teach them about Jesus. And I want to say that Eric has done a wonderful job in the last 9 years. And we don't want him to leave, but we want to keep the work that he has continued going. And I know that's exactly what Eric wants as well. So let's be praying for the search for our new youth minister. Pray for this potential youth minister and his family as we search for the right one. But let's continue this vision of an active, growing youth ministry. Eric has produced this mission statement. Cross Creek Youth Ministry exists to reach middle and high school students, to help them share in God's Word, to offer themselves in service to Christ, and to care for one another. And if you lift those emboldened words out and put them in a different order, you'll find the letters for the word cross. Care, reach, offer, share, and serve. Those are great purpose words for our youth ministry. May it always be a cross-centered youth ministry that is active and growing. And let me show you a picture of what it's all about. It's all about what happened this past Monday night. And Caitlin Hardy put Christ on in baptism. And in this picture, you'll see there was Eric sent out a group text message for everyone who could to come and be here. And you'll see several of our youth group members responded, and their parents and others of the Creekwood family that wanted to and were able to witness this baptism. That's what it's all about right there. May that continue to be our vision. To go along with that, our vision for the Creekwood Church is always loving and ministering to children. Always loving and ministering to children. In our special collection, when the children come up and drop in their coins and dollars, that yes, we recognize you parents have given to them, grandparents, what comes to your mind? Here's one passage that comes to my mind, and Luke kind of showed me that again today. God loves a cheerful giver. They enjoy that. But here's another passage that comes to my mind. They brought little children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms. I love that. He took those children up in his arms. Our Lord did. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. May that love that Jesus showed for children always characterize our church family. That we love children. Yes, they can be loud. Yes, they can be busy. Yes, they can run circles around us and trip us up at times. But we love children. We love them. And one of the reasons is they teach us some things about what it means to be a member of God's kingdom. May our vision always include continuing to love and minister to our children. We have some things that are in place that we need to keep going. Things like Camp Creek Bible School program. And yes, we redecorated our halls and a lot of people put a lot of work into that. And we changed the looks of it. And the idea was to get our children excited about going to Bible class and to learning about Jesus. And yes, channel their energies into doing some crafts and other things. But isn't that a wonderful thing for children to be excited about learning about Jesus and about doing things that are associated with learning about God? And we've called upon us adults to help. And the need is always present for us to engage, to be willing to be teachers in those classrooms. Let's remember the kids. Let's make it great for the children. Because what they're learning now is going to influence them and guide them for the rest of their lives. We have Lads to Leaders and Leaderettes program. And this is one of the pictures that I found on the Facebook page that included several of our participants. And I don't know what they were on stage for on this occasion, but it just shows you a sample of some of the participants and how they engage in Bible Bowl and speech and song leading and many even art on if desired, and many other venues where our children can to develop their talents and become leaders and leaderettes in the church. May our vision always be loving and ministering to our children and involving them in other activities and even geared toward their age. And I, for one, am going to say, it is worth a little wear and tear in our building for our children to enjoy being here and to enjoy building those relationships. I will get a paintbrush if needed. But let's let our children be children. Let them be excited. Yes, guide them and train them. But allow them to have fun and to learn about Jesus and to enjoy being even in the church building. Got to move on. Our vision must include growing to maturity. Growing to maturity. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. We should always be looking and working to grow. And that's going to involve leadership development. Where our leaders, our elders, continue to grow into becoming, and I believe the term that's used in Scripture to describe this work of an elder, I believe the term shepherd encompasses all of the rest. If you want to know what a good shepherd is, look at what Jesus says about the good shepherd in John chapter 10. The good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd guides the sheep. The good shepherd protects the sheep, loves the sheep, is willing to give his life for the sheep. We need elders shepherding. We need deacons deaconing or serving. And not just that, but as deacons, we encourage you not only to take ownership of the ministry in which you're involved, but make it a goal to include others, as many others as you possibly can. The idea of deacons is not to take a work and do it yourself, I want us to broaden that vision. The work of deacons is, yes, tackle this ministry, but get others involved in doing it. And that will mean growth for all of us. It's also going to mean training future leaders. We always got to have that in our minds and in our vision. For working with men to grow them into the deacons and elders that we will need in the future. But this growing to maturity will also involve navigating through the trials of life. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So growing to maturity means navigating through those trials, learning from them. But it also means learning to help bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, as we grow through these times of trial. It means growing deeper in our relationship, stronger in our walk with Christ, that can only come about as we continue to grow. Our vision must also include strengthening our families. As it's been said so many times, our nation is only as strong as our family units. Our church is only as strong as our family units. So we must always have a vision for the family and doing what we can as a church family to help build our individual families, whether we're a family of one or however many it is. That means we need to continue to focus on strengthening our marriages, leaving, cleaving, and weaving. Leaving father and mother being joined to his wife, they should become one flesh. Leaving, cleaving, weaving, helping that process take shape. Currently, Ricky is teaching a Sunday morning class, A Blessed Marriage, taking the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, and showing how they relate to marriage and building a strong marriage. Strengthening our marriages is a must. Strengthening our parent-child relationships. Strengthening the bond among the generations. I got so much material here, I'm trying to wrap it up. But Psalm 78, listen to this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You see, the idea here is Psalm 78, teach your children. And those children teach their children. And for generations to come, that teaching can be passed down. That those that'll cause the future generations to set their hope in God and to keep His commandments. But it also builds the relationship among the generations. May we also be ministering to special and unique situations within the family. Always providing opportunities and for our families to have activities to share, but also workshops, seminars, classes for our families to grow. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we plan to begin a series of lessons on turning our hearts toward home, from Mother's Day to Father's Day, focusing on the family, building up the family, our families, so that our church family can continue to grow and become strong. Our vision for the Lord's church at Creekwood should always be worshiping God from the heart. In spirit and in truth, John 4, 23 and 24. In the ways that God, in the right avenues, but also with our spirits, from the depth of our being, worshiping God. In Matthew 15, Jesus says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus says there's two things that make our worship vain. One is teaching as commandments, teaching as God's will the commandments of men, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men, substituting man's words for God's words, but also honoring God with our lips, but not from our hearts, makes our worship vain. Folks, our vision for this church needs to be that we worship from the heart, that we're fully engaged, actively participating, focusing on God. He's the audience. In song and in prayer and in studying His Word and remembering the main event as we partake of the Lord's Supper, fully engaged. You know what that will do? I believe, regardless of how much training we received in singing, that our singing is going to be robust. That our singing is going to be from the heart. There's some songs that I've learned recently that I'd love for us to incorporate in our worship. YouTube this one if you YouTube In Need. In Need. And as you listen to it, to me it's a very worshipful song. And even the singers, and it's a group from a cappella, praise and harmony singers, the music, the words are beautiful. And I believe if we fully engage in our worship, it's going to make a difference. This should be our huddle, if you will. We huddle together. We worship our God. We get our focus in the right direction so that when we leave, we can better serve God. We enter to worship and we leave to serve. May our vision always be when we enter to worship that we do so in the right way, but from the heart as well. And lastly, may our vision always be to glorify God in all that we say and do. That we do everything in His name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17. And may we do all to His glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And the passage that Keith read for us, I end with, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's been a lot of bullet points, I realize. May this vision spur us on. The vision of a growing family, every member a minister, serving our community, a deep love and respect for God's Word, ministering to one another, always evangelistic, always seeking to bring others to Jesus, continuing an active, growing youth ministry, loving and ministering to children, growing to maturity, strengthening our families, worshiping from the heart, but doing everything to God's glory and not our own. This is really nothing new. My prayer is that we'll capture this vision. Several years ago, several of us got together and created a vision statement for the Creekwood Church. It goes like this. The church at Creekwood is a unified family that loves God and fellow man, is guided by faith in His inspired Word, is comforted by His Spirit with hope of abundant life now and eternal life with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a vision statement that incorporates many of the things that we brought out. But then a vision statement is intended to translate into a mission statement. A mission statement that was come up with at that time says, the church at Creekwood is committed to bringing glory to God through Jesus Christ by teaching the gospel to people in our community and the whole world, strengthening and equipping each other for worship and ministry, prayerfully serving and teaching the truth in love. Will you embrace that vision that God has for this family? And I want to end it, actually, this time, the same way I did last Sunday. Will each of us say, let it begin with me? Let it begin with me. I want to worship from the heart. I want to bring my neighbor to Jesus. I want to love and minister to children. I want to be a part of what our youth are involved in and encourage them. I want this church to be a growing family, and I'm going to do my part to help the family to grow, not just in number, but in love and in reaching out. Let it begin with me. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, if you have studied to the point where you're ready to obey the gospel and be added to the family of God, we hope and pray that you'll do so even this morning. If you need the prayers of the church, please let those be known as together we stand and sing.